we're exploring the history of one of the first black-owned breweries in America, People's Brewing Company in Oshkosh. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to a 2019 diversity survey from the Brewers Association, black-owned breweries today make up 1% of the craft brewing industry. And placing People's Brewing history in the context of the civil rights era, this was a remarkable venture by black Milwaukee businessmen who broke boundaries. Do you remember the black capitalism movement? What were your thoughts about it at the time? Are you from Oshkosh and have questions about People's story? Join in at 800-642-1234. Craig Crosby is the son of Henry Crosby, one of the founders of People's Brewing and a collector of beer memorabilia. Craig, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello.
Hello, good morning. We also have John Harry, a beer historian who researched the history of People's Brewing. John, welcome to you.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
John, let's start with you. People's Brewing in Oshkosh dates back to the early 1900s, 1913, and it was this handful of breweries, you know, founded by tavern owners really fighting against that large corporate, you know, monopolistic breweries. Can you give us a sketch of how People's evolved in its history?
Yeah. So like you said, it was founded by these tavern keepers who were, they weren't very happy that the tavern that was, or the brewery that was supplying their taverns with beer, the Oshkosh Brewing Company, had monopolized the market in the 1890s. So they said, well, we're going to fight back against that. So they opened their own brewery right across the street from Oshkosh Brewing Company. And in another show of defiance kind of, you know, said, we're the People's Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. So they cut into Oshkosh Brewing Company's profits right away. And both breweries coexisted for a long time. But by the time you get into the 1950s, 60s, and especially into the 70s, there's mass consolidation going on in the brewing industry. So after Prohibition in 1933, there were 750 breweries still in existence nationwide. And by 1973, there were only 65 left.
Wow.
So a lot of these small breweries in these smaller towns, every town in Wisconsin practically had a brewery at some point, it feels like. But most of them were out of business by the mid-1970s.
Craig, why is the history of People's Brewing remarkable to you?
Well, the first thing is it's knowing my dad and pretty much everything that he did, he went in full speed, and knowing what he really wanted to achieve, especially at that time, was pretty remarkable. He had always been a businessman. Jokes later on is that he probably knew 90% of all the black people in the city of, you know, Milwaukee. So that in of itself is pretty remarkable in what he just really, really was striving to accomplish.
Yeah. You were about 7 or 8 at the time of the sale of People. What do you remember about that time?
I remember going to the brewery the first time, and we were in, I think it was like the bottling area, and being that young, the building, it wasn't massive, but to a kid that young, it was ginormous. It was like walking into the Pfizer Forum, so to speak. You know, it was that's the magnitude that I saw. And I remember it just being pretty cool, you know, seeing all that.
John, how did you come across the history of People's Brewing Company?
Yeah, so I'm finishing my master's degree right now, actually, this coming weekend.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I get to sleep then. At UW-Milwaukee. And when I was deciding to go back to school, so my previous life was actually as a radio DJ, so happy to be back on the air. I needed to have some sort of writing sample to get back into grad school. And so I started researching different breweries and actually started on the Oshkosh Brewing Company. And then through searching through the archives, I came across People's Brewing Company because Craig's mom, Jan, After Henry had died, she had donated all of his papers to the university, UW-Milwaukee's archives. And these are open to the public. So, like, you know, I'm not hoarding these by any means. You can go find them. I started like diving into this, and it became, you know, less of a story about beer and more of a story about community engagement and capitalism at that time.
Yeah, take us deeper into that story of community engagement and capitalism and the work of United Black Enterprises, this group of businessmen. Who were they?
Well, so to kind of give some context to where they were coming out of is at this point in the late 1960s, there was this movement called Black Capitalism. And that's not to say that there was not capitalism in existence in the Black community before that. But at this point, it actually became a campaign pledge of Richard Nixon, if you can believe it. So he was actually coincidentally in Milwaukee and made this big speech about we need to get African Americans, quote, a piece of the action, and letting them into the capitalist system. Richard Nixon was not, you know, the most magnanimous kind of person, though. His real goal was to kind of quell the unrest of the last 10 years through giving government loans to Black entrepreneurs. So out of this Black capitalism movement comes Craig's dad, Henry Crosby, another gentleman named Ray Alexander, and kind of the central figure in that runs through the whole story is a guy named Theodore Mack, or Ted Mack.
Ted Mack.
They started a group called United Black Enterprises. Ted Mack had been working at Pabst Brewing Company when he found out that Pabst had to divest itself of Blatt's Brewing Company due to monopoly concerns. So he formed this United Black Enterprises to try to buy Blatt's Brewing Company. And that's kind of where that spurred out of.
We're talking with John Harry, who is a beer historian. Craig Crosby is here, who is a collector of beer memorabilia. We're talking about the history and the legacy of people's brewing in Oshkosh. Do you want to know more about this history? Are you a beer lover? Which brewing companies do you appreciate? And do you remember the Black capitalism movement? Join in at 800-642-1234. Craig, this beer history that is so much ingrained in your family, what kind of feelings surface for you when others talk about people's brewing? What does it make you feel?
Well, there, a lot of it is positive. Most of it is positive. And after I met John, I actually started researching the history of the brewery a little bit more. And reading up on it, the thing that struck me the most was that back in at that time, the government basically purchased beer from multiple breweries around the country, and there was a reference to saying that, you know, People's Brewery would get a piece of that. That monies. And I still truly believe that if they would have gotten some of that government contract, the brewery would still be in existence today. Financially, due to various things, but that was a key piece to that puzzle, that money coming in, and had they gotten a small piece to start out with, I still believe that brewery would still be in existence right now.
John, what do you see in that government contract and how beer, you know, the marketplace of beer bought and sold?
Yeah, so I agree what Craig was saying about if the government would have stepped in, you know, there's a good chance that Peoples may have survived at least a lot longer. So when they were trying to buy Blatt's Brewing Company, this was like a full, solely African-American effort. And then that didn't end up happening. So they were kind of kept out of the later stages of the bidding process. And it ended, Blatt's ended up getting sold to Heilemann Brewing in La Crosse, actually. And so they had to turn to something different. And so they found Peoples. But the thing that's different is that they, instead of making this a true holistic grassroots Black community effort. They turned to the federal government to find a loan to get Peoples. And so there was a lot of factors with that. But yeah, the government contracts is a big deal. You know, Ted Mack and Henry Crosby and others, they thought they were going to get these government contracts because they had a loan through the government. Therefore, the government is an interested, you know, invested stakeholder. But they were trying to sell it to military bases. And there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through to get those sales to actually happen. And I have doubts that that was ever actually clearly drawn out until, you know, it was too late. Because it was the military only takes beer that it's in high demand. Well, how is Peoples, this small little regional brewery in Northeast Wisconsin, going to compete with Miller and Budweiser and things like that? And beyond that, they had to brew a 3.2 alcohol beer, which Peoples didn't brew at that point. So there was a lot to go on with the government, but that's definitely one of the many different reasons why Peoples failed.
Yeah, a number of hurdles. John Harry is a beer historian. Craig Crosby, son of Henry Crosby, one of the Black businessmen who was involved in the purchase of Oshkosh Brewing Company in 1970. Do you enjoy beer history? How much do you know about the Peoples Brewing story? What do you want to know from a family descendant? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk more in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the historical significance of Peoples Brewing Company, one of the first Black-owned breweries in the nation. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the story goes, a Milwaukee-based group called United Black Enterprises, they bought a small, struggling brewery in Oshkosh in 1970. And the UBE president, Theodore Ted Mack, as we've been talking about, was an entrepreneur and former employee of Pabst. We're filling in the history in this early effort to diversify the industry and give small breweries a stake. Do you remember Peoples or collect beer memorabilia? What do you want to know about the brewing scene in Oshkosh in this era? 800-642-1234. Craig Crosby is the son of Henry Crosby, one of the UBE investors. John Harry is with us, a beer historian, and they're here for the hour. Peggy in Waukesha is with us with a question. Hi, Peggy. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
Just curious, relatives on my father's side had Sitter Brewery in Oshkosh. I was just wondering if either or any of you have run across any information about Sitter Brewery.
John?
I haven't, no.
No. How about you, Craig? Any?
No, I have not. I'm just trying to think through the collecting of my dad's brewery memorabilia. I've met quite a few people, some up in the Oshkosh area that are pretty well known. They might be able to find it, but I've not heard of that beer. No.
Peggy, do you have any artifacts or more information?
Some of my cousins do have bottles with the name Sitter Brewing on it. The old brown bottles. And our cousin also made a copy of a poster that was used for advertising.
Oh, okay.
But it would have been before the 70s.
Yeah. I can make a quick plug here. So there's a guy in Oshkosh named Lee Reiherzer, who's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, but he's also a great local beer historian up there. And he has a blog that's oshkoshbeer.blogspot.com. And if it ever existed in beer in Oshkosh, he's got it.
The encyclopedia.
So, Lee would definitely know know how to locate any information. Yeah, he's pretty much the authority on it up there.
Yep.
Peggy, thank you for the call. Grant emailed us to ask, what style and types of beers did Peoples Brewery make? And did the brewers log recipes? Did any recipes survive? Craig, you can go first.
Peoples Beer was a lager. And even though I was way too young to taste it back then, I know that the recipes do exist, and I know that different local breweries up in Oshkosh have recreated some of the beer, and John also knows a little bit more information about the recipe as it exists today.
Yeah.
Yes. Yo, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so back to Lee again. So Lee's a home brewer who he got he put together a recipe and then got it confirmed by a former brewer. And so I'm a home brewer as well. So I've actually homebrewed a couple of different people's beer recipes. So like Craig said, the flagship people's beer recipe was kind of a lighter lager. It had corn in it, which was pretty common at that point. You have to consider beer, the landscape of beer at that point was pretty, pretty homogenized. There wasn't a lot of variation from brewery to brewery. It's like everybody's kind of making a light American lager, with corn in it. But then Peoples also made a Bock at one point. And then they also had a holiday beer, which was kind of like their regular Peoples beer, but with a higher ABV. And the joke always was, it's the holiday beer, 'cause this beer will help you tolerate your family.
We're talking with John Harry, beer historian, and Craig Crosby, a collector of beer memorabilia, son of Henry Crosby, one of the founders of Wisconsin's first Black-owned brewing company. You can join in with your recollections, your questions, 800-642-1234. Michael is here from Milwaukee. Hi, Michael. What would you like to add?
Well, what I'd like to add, I've done a considerable amount of work in Oshkosh history. And in that period of time, in the 50s, 60s, into the 70s, there was plenty of overt racism in Oshkosh. And so I've always admired Ted Mack and his family for their willingness to move to that town and actually and manage the brewery. When those children went to school in Oshkosh, they stood out. The whole family did, of course. And so I thought that should just be part of the story, that in addition to being business people and running that brewery, these were people who, you know, again, if we to use a term that we're more familiar in, you know, if we're talking about the American South, those folks broke the color line in Oshkosh. And it's a pity, of course, that they couldn't hang on and to win the craft brewing industry blossomed, you know, that Peoples wasn't there to enjoy it.
Michael, thank you for bringing that to the table. And John Harry, looking more closely at the life and career of Ted Mack, originally from Alabama, what did you find?
It wasn't just Oshkosh that was overtly racist at this point. They had to deal with a whole systemic structure of racism too. So in Oshkosh, they lost almost all of their accounts at first being under Black ownership. Now, Ted Mack was a very charismatic guy. And also wanted to make that statement that, you know, we are coming to Oshkosh. We're going to be a part of this community. This is our brewery. We're going to make this happen. So he got most of those accounts back within the first year, but took a pretty big financial hit, in the process. But they also, you know, in trying to expand outside of their normal distribution range, they got copped out of other places. So they wanted to distribute into Gary, Indiana, which has a sizable Black population, and were stopped at the border by the police, saying that they didn't have the correct paperwork in order and the correct licensures and things like that to be able to distribute their product there. So they were running into the system all over the place. So that's one of the, like I said, one of the many reasons that Peoples went out of business.
And immediately when they buy the brewery, they're lambasted with reports that management positions would be filled by people of color and their policy would be to only hire Black employees. How did they respond to those accusations out of the gate?
Well, so they refuted them. They also encountered rumors that the beer wasn't going to be the same, you know, that it was going to be a sub product, you know, sub premium product now that it was under Black ownership. They actually sent a sample down to the Siebel Institute in Chicago to have it analyzed to, you know, say, no, this is still a really good beer. So they had to deal with that, those kind of rumors, throughout. And I think, you know, one of the big things is that you know, their original plan was not to buy a brewery in a small white community. You know, like our caller just said, like to break this color barrier, that wasn't necessarily the goal, to move into, you know, small Oshkosh and be a black brewery owner. It was to become an owner of the means of production to provide for the black community, because Ted Mack saw that the black community was drinking a lot of beer and only white people owned it. Therefore, none of those breweries were investing in the black community. So his goal was to change that.
We are exploring the remarkable history of People's Brewing Company with John Harry and Craig Crosby. Do you support small craft breweries now? What can you take away from the story of People's Brewing and the lack of diversity in this industry? Are you a person of color who's working to start a brewery? What is your experience? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick up this conversation after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the story of Wisconsin's first and only black-owned brewery, People's Brewing Company in Oshkosh. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a story of black capitalism in the civil rights era, as we've been talking about, of the struggle to get a small piece of a market and distribution in an industry dominated by white owners and big breweries like Schlitz, like Miller, like Budweiser. And it's a struggle that still persists today, a half century later. Are you from Oshkosh? Do you remember People's Brewing? Do you support black-owned enterprises? Why is that important to you? Join in 800-642-1234. John Harry is a UW-Milwaukee history grad student focused on beer and black capitalism. Craig Crosby's father was one of the business investors who took a risk in 1970 and bought People's Brewing. They're with us for the hour. Craig, talk a little more, if you would, about your father, how he got into this business and what he was like.
Well, like I said, he was always been in business. He owned his own insurance agency and he sold life insurance in the inner city. He always was trying to do business in the black community to help the black community as much as he could. I remember when we were young, like I grew up in basically 29th and Roosevelt, right by Eaton, what is now Eaton Corporation, and went to university school at that point, and my parents wanted to move to a suburban area just for the school system. And I still remember we had looked at a house in Glendale. It would have been the Nicolay school system. Beautiful house. My parents wanted to make an offer on it. And the realtor at that time said, well, I'm not so sure that I can sell you this house. And my dad questioned and he said, well, I'm not sure if the neighbors would approve. And this is me. I was in third grade at that time, and I remember that it pretty much hit me in the head. And my dad we packed up and left. He was not going to get bullied. He knew exactly what the guy meant, and he wasn't going to, you know, continue that any further. That's just the type of person he was. I remember with the brewery, like I said, it seemed so huge to me when I was young. And I remember how happy he was when the purchase went through, when the news conference was going to take place up in Oshkosh, that they were going to be introduced to the city, to the state, to the industry as the owners of this brewery. Even though the racial tension was huge, well, at that time, Oshkosh was a sundown town. And that basically meant that if you were not white, you really you shouldn't be outside your home mm-hmm. when the sun goes down. If your car broke down, you were sleeping in your car. If something happened and you needed a hotel, you weren't going to get one. That's the type of situation that they went into knowingly in Oshkosh, and they said that we're going to make this work.
John Harry, when you hear a story of redlining like that, and, you know, in Milwaukee, a story of being a sundown town in Oshkosh, what were the obstacles like to get a business established and to, you know, to make it successful?
I mean, insurmountable. I mean, the black capitalism movement kind of fizzled out with the end of the Nixon administration. And that was just kind of seen as here's another thing we can try to find equity in the United States. I think that with the way that the redlining and had segregated Milwaukee and continues to draw neighborhood lines today along ethnicities, I think that was part of the plan, was to try to get into an industry where you could provide more than just a storefront for the black community, but actually provide goods. And so I think that was part of the plan. Now, like I said, like going up to Oshkosh, that wasn't the original part of the plan. That just happened to be, oh, here's this brewery that's in pretty good shape that's available, and we're going to try to make this work the best that we can. But I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said about like what kind of guts that takes.
Mm. Doug is joining us from Wilmot. Hi, Doug. Go ahead.
Hey, I was wondering if there's still an Oshkosh Brewing Company in business. I have an old wooden crate, you know, like carried a case of long necks. It's kind of nice. It's like really old Oshkosh Brewing Company. It has like hops painted on there and then wheat. And there's like a trademark thing with a guy in a top hat.
Oh, I think, Craig, you want Doug's number.
I would love to have that in my collection, to be completely honest. I've seen that. I don't have that, but
I was always thinking of driving up to Oshkosh and finding a tavern that had decor in there, and I would trade the owner the box for a good cheeseburger.
That would be a really good deal for that owner.
I will definitely buy you a good cheeseburger for
because I don't want it anymore. It's in the way, but it's so cool. I mean, it's rough. This thing was used. I mean, it's rough. It's, you know, but you can still see a little bit of the red on that circle around the guy. But what is a place up in Oshkosh that has a good cheeseburger? I want to get rid of this thing.
Here's the best deal of all, Doug. We will make sure we get your number to Craig so that the two of you can connect. And that is just a wonderful, wonderful connection. So, Doug, you do stay on the line. And thank you so much for calling in. You know, Doug is also bringing up a question here about labeling. Can you describe the people's label, what it looked like, John Harry?
Yeah, so the people's branding, it was blue, white, and gold, kind of like a swoop from the left up to the right, as you might see on a lot of beer labels. So it said, you know, people's beer, and then every can, their tagline was "Hits the spot." It's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. What he was talking about with Oshkosh Brewing Company too. So their beer was Chief Oshkosh. And so that's the Native American chief was actually part of their logo, at one point. And they abandoned that by the '60s, as their main part of their logo. So that's what he's seeing there on that crate. But Peoples actually bought Oshkosh Brewing Company in 1971. So I guess you could say Oshkosh Brewing Company then was the second black owned brewery in the United States, or in Wisconsin rather. But again, the sign of that industry consolidation that even the brewery across the street was willing to sell.
You know, Craig, when you look at your beer memorabilia, how did people's marketing and branding compare to other beer companies? What do you see?
Well, that's kind of interesting. They did a couple different campaigns, and I have some of the stuff in my collection That was the first time that I was seeing any ethnicity in brewing advertising. They had black women in the advertising. They had Native American women in the advertising. So it's not only just people of color, but females as well. Hmm. One of the big advertisement pieces that they had were a black couple laying on the floor in the living room in front of a fireplace, playing cards, people's beer cards, and then they had glasses of people's beer. And I've actually got that in my collection. It's just interesting that it never was out there that I saw. And then after that happened, I guess some of the bigger beer companies in the area, Miller, Blatt's, what have you, Schlitz, they looked at that and said, maybe this is the market that we need to tap into a little bit more. And then you started seeing dribbles of non-white people in the advertising campaigns.
Hmm. John Harry, how do you view these marketing images and the messages that they sent?
I mean, it was clear that they were trying to establish Peoples as a brand for black people, and that, you know, that it was acceptable to, you know, do that at that point. Beer advertising had changed so much over the years. If you look at beer advertising into, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, a lot of times the African-American in the advertisement is serving the beer to the white people. Mm. And then you see this culture shift throughout the 60s where breweries are then advertising to black people and in sort of this like black is beautiful, black power type of motif. But a lot of these, you know, white owned breweries that were doing it, they were looking for another market to exploit, you know? So they were like, oh wait, now we have this consumer base we can tap into.
Yeah. You know, I came across a quote from Ted Mack, you know, Oshkosh Daily in April 1970. And Mack tells the media, we're not making any black beer. And then it goes on, I didn't buy this brewery for black power. There is only one kind of power in this country, and that is green power, money. Did you, John Harry, come across this quote?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen that. It's interesting how Ted Mack, throughout this whole story, kind of, you have to negotiate the space, kind of, between being into the capitalist system and then also supporting the black community and being seen as genuine to them. So there's an interesting dichotomy within that. And it also, you know, it needs to be said that as it is today, the African-American community is not is not a monolith. It's not, you know, there's not just the one thought process, you know, there's, mm-hmm. there's divisions within communities as far as how to approach different issues. And that was really true at this point too, where a lot of people saw these black capitalism efforts as kind of like, oh, you're trying to be like the man, rather than trying to find ways to support our community. And so you have, there was another famous quote where Ted Mack was saying, I don't know why black people aren't buying the beer. And there's different reasons for that. The beer actually did really well on college campuses because it was kind of that anti-establishment vibe of, you know, the people's beer. Mm-hmm. But never, the beer never found true support within the black community.
Craig, how do you feel about that and that interpretation?
I think it's pretty accurate. The beer was very, very well known and it was liked in the area. Talking to some of my old fraternity brothers, I went to college in Oshkosh. I went to UW Oshkosh and some of my old fraternity brothers remember the beer very well, and that was a brew that was consumed on a regular basis in the fraternity house. So they tried to market outside of the norm. They wanted to bring say that it wasn't just a white-owned, white-consumed product. And I think that in the name Peoples, yeah, it was a beer for the people. It kind of took on a, how should I say, something on its own that just in the name itself, it was kind of a fight back against the man kind of thought.
Yeah. Craig Crosby, son of Henry Crosby, one of the black businessmen, entrepreneurs who purchased Oshkosh Brewing Company in 1970. John Harry with us, a beer historian. Do you enjoy beer history in Wisconsin? How much do you know about the People's Brewing story? Still time to discuss, to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're taking a closer look at Wisconsin's first and only black-owned brewery, People's Brewing Company, and the historical significance of minority ownership of breweries. John Harry is a beer historian whose research focuses on race, beer, and black capitalism. Craig Crosby is here, the son of Henry Crosby, one of the founders of People's, and he's also an avid collector of beer memorabilia. They're with us for 10 more minutes. Kenneth in Stoughton remembers Peoples. Hi, Kenneth. What is your story?
Well, I graduated from UW in 1971, and I went to work in Sheboygan for a radio station, and they were still playing Perry Como and having the farm report at noon. But when you went, or at least when I went to one of the local taverns, there was Peoples beer, and it just struck me as a little bit, I mean, Sheboygan was very, very conservative, and I just was kind of curious how the distribution was done to get people's beer distributed in a, you know, in a real small conservative town like that.
Kenneth, thank you. John, what can you say?
Well, People's, for most of its history, it just distributed to, you know, Northeast Wisconsin, mainly just even, you know, Oshkosh, Appleton, Ripon, you know, like that kind of like very limited distribution. Ted Mack wanted this to be a nationwide brand, and so worked to get the beer into other communities. So, you know, you have agreements with distributors. That's, you know, part of the system of how you get the beer out there. And so, you know, I don't know if the politics had so much to do with it at that point. I would be interested to know how well the beer might have sold at that point in Sheboygan. But a lot of people, and I think this goes along with the, you know, why weren't African-Americans necessarily buying the beer? A lot of people had never heard of it before. And so it's not like they had some mass marketing budget to be able to get the word out that we are this beer with this cause or anything like that. So, you know, you could easily drink People's beer and not know who was making it, you know, same as today. So yeah, they tried to get in, you know, his goal was to get into 111 different major, you know, national markets. So
there was talk that this beer got into the California market. Is there any truth to that?
A little bit. So they sent some stuff over there. And Ted Mack said, you know, it's nice to get it over there, but you know, it's so, you know, it's not profitable to ship, that the kind of beer that you would need an amount of beer to be able to make a profit on something like that. I mean, even at that point and still today, the big breweries have satellite breweries all around the country. So, you know, you're competing with people who have a lot less overhead costs because they can kind of corner the market.
Yeah, their distribution is right there. Kenneth, thank you for the call. Chris is joining us from Gotham. Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. This is a great story. I'm fortunate enough to have a father that my name is Leroy Woolley, who just passed away on April 30th, who was a major investor with Mr. Mack in this, as my father, after World War II, was the first black tool and die maker in Wisconsin, was the first black city alderman in Racine, Wisconsin, and city councilman. And we have People's Brewery, Chief Oshkosh Beer also is one they made, and then Red Chieftain Beer. And it's kind of interesting. My father passed away on April 30th, 93 years old. Mm. And about 3 years ago, he opened one of the beers of the People's Brewery, since he does have full cans of beer still here at the house. Oh. And the story that you're telling this morning is very true. Growing up as a kid, He shared with me how they stopped them at the border because as he used to live in Gary and Hammond, Indiana, and service that large community with other things, your stories that you're telling today are very, very true about the opposition that they faced with regards to racism and government funding, et cetera. And it's always been a historical thing within our family about People's Brewery in Oshkosh. So thank you so much.
Oh, wow. Craig, what is coming up for you?
Well, the story about the distribution, and I remember that story very well. And my dad was telling that, you know, they had trucks loaded with beer on their way to Gary, Indiana, and the local law enforcement were tipped off that they were coming, and that's they were basically they shut them down at the border, saying if you cross the border, your trucks will be pulled over, the beer will be confiscated, and you know that kind of thing. That's to the extent that the larger breweries wanted to shut them down. You know, so it's insurmountable hurdles that they had to get over. But knowing the people that were involved in it, they, you know, if anybody could do it at that time, I was pretty confident that those were the people that would have given it the best shot.
Oh, wow. Chris, do you have any other memories you'd like to share?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that is a correct statement because my dad, you know, I even had a call as his passing this past week from State Representative Robert Turner about all the historical things that he did for African Americans here in the state of Wisconsin and then people's civil rights in general, you know, being a UAW president, UAW 553 president, you're right. Ted Mack had the right people involved that fought against this all the time and were ready for that type of battle to help people's rights. And so that's probably where the name People's came from. So just it's a really good story. Like I said, his caretaking doctor out of Richland Center, Wisconsin, informed me this story was on this morning, and it brought him chills because we shared these stories the last 3-4 weeks as he was in the hospital.
Oh,
but,
wow.
Greatly appreciate this.
Oh, Chris. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, John Harry, we are out of time, but just a couple thoughts from you as to where, you know, how we should value this history.
I think we need to consider it within the context of the long civil rights movement, as far as the Black population has always found a way to try to support their community through various things. So be it through the more concentrated civil rights movement that we think of in the 1960s, but, you know, into this where it was kind of like, hey, you know, we have this opportunity. Let's try to take advantage of it to see what we can do. You know, the lessons remain the same as far as, you know, who do you trust when you're trying to get ahead? So, you know, I think that there's a lot to take from that.
Thank you both for joining us. John Harry, beer historian who researched the history of People's Brewing. Craig Crosby, son of Henry Crosby, one of the founders. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the Ideas Network.